It was going to be Jonah, but then somebody stole my message. Pastor told us like 3 weeks ago, he said, okay, guys, I'm going to have you preach. And I was like, okay, so think about what you want to preach on, and then just tell me next week, and then we'll figure it all out. And Garrett was like, well, could I preach first? And I was like, okay, that's good. Gives me more time to get a message ready. So the whole week I was reading Jonah. I was going over Jonah, and I was like, okay, I could get something out of this. This is good here. And we get there, and Pastor's like, so what are you guys preaching on? And Garrett goes, well, I was thinking about reading on Jonah. I was like, no. But and then Pastor's going to preach next week on Jonah. Oh, I don't know if I was supposed to say that. I don't know. He's preaching on Jonah next week. So it's all going to work out. And I also am upset with Jeff. I went back there. I said, so did I get that cool little lapel mic? He said no. And I was like, well, what if I get courageous enough to like walk that way 5 feet? I'm not going to, but I thought it would be cool if I could. And then Pastor was like, well, you can have it. I was like, no, I won't be able to. So I might as well just use this thing. This thing's good enough for me. But so yeah, I just kind of want to thank Pastor for teaching us. I know we can get kind of impatient, we can get kind of out of control, and he's been very patient with us. Yeah, thank you. We can be kind of crazy a little bit, and I just thank him for going through all that. And I remember, like, 2 years ago, whenever he first took us hunting, he told us that we should practice with the bow, and we never did. I think we practiced twice. At least I practiced twice. I don't know about you. But after that, I think I missed the deer and Garrett missed the deer all on the same day. But he took us to Culver's, and we were sitting down. I don't even know how this got started, but Pastor looked at us, and he said, I think maybe a couple of our young people are being called to preach. And we were like, oh, okay, cool. He's like, so have you guys surrendered? And I was like, yeah, I surrendered a while ago. And Garrett's like, yeah, I surrendered. He goes, so have you guys been called? And I was like, no, I'm never going to be called. Are you kidding? And Garrett didn't say anything. He just kind of shook his head, no. I was like, I'm never, ever going to be called. But looking back on that now, I was like, what an idiot I was. So both me and Garrett are now being called into ministry, and it's very exciting. But I think the most thing that I was scared of was I was just scared that I wasn't going to be able to be or to do it just because I don't like to be in front of people. I don't think anybody likes to be in front of people. But it's just kind of weird how God works, that even back then he was still working in us and just kind of showing us that he was going to do this. And the story of me getting called is kind of weird because I went up to Michigan and saw Joel and then all that happened. It was a really weird sequence of events. But anyways, I'm just really happy that I'm doing this now, and I don't know what I would do because I was going to be a police officer, but that kind of went downhill, and I'm happy about that, so I'm happy now. But anyways, okay, so we're going to be in Daniel. I'm going to give you a little backstory on Daniel. I'm not going to be preaching on Daniel tonight, but I'm going to be talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but I'm going to read the first couple of verses in chapter 1, so if you're all there, I'll start reading. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried unto the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. So, whenever Nebuchadnezzar would attack you, it wasn't the greatest thing to be attacked by Nebuchadnezzar, because he had a really big army, and he was just pretty good at taking people over, at besieging, the Bible says besieging them. So, but what they would do is they would take you over, they would take everything that they wanted, but they would also take your idols and your gods, and they would take those things and they would worship them. I don't really get that ideology there, because you just took over those people, so obviously their God didn't, protect you, but you still want to worship that. But anyways, that's what he did, and it worked out for him. And it says in verse 3, and the king spake unto Asphanaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children whom was no blemish, but well-favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such has had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldees. So they would not only come and take everything and take your God, but they would also take the best and the smart children in your land. So I was reading over this, and I was thinking, I was like, there is no way that I would ever be in this, because read it. Children of whom no blemish, but well-favored, skillful in all wisdom. I'm already out. Skillful in all wisdom. And cunning in knowledge. I was thinking, I was like, me and Garrett, I think all of us would be out of this group, because these people were smart, and they had to learn the language of the Chaldees. So it says in verse number 5, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of that wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and unto Hananiah of Shadrach, and to the Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So what I see in these verses, in the last couple of verses, that they were taken from their land, they were taken from their family, everything they knew was changed, and it says that the prince of the eunuchs gave them names. So the Babylonians were trying to Babylonianize them, I guess. I don't know. Babylonianize them by giving them other names. And it says here, in my Bible here, it says that Daniel means God is my judge in Hebrew. But it says Belshazzar means he whom Bel favors. So they're trying to get them to change over onto their like religion and to just everything they believed. But even though they did all this, Daniel, Hananiah, Shadrach, that's the same person, Mishael, and Azariah, am I saying that right? Mishael, I didn't know. I was reading that, and I was like, okay, cool. But even though they went through all of this, they still had a good attitude, and they still stayed true to God. And that's just crazy, because sometimes whenever, oh, I'm going to walk away. Whoa, that was weird. Sometimes, I'm sorry. Sometimes whenever some things are not going right in my life, I tend to just have a really, really bad attitude about things. And I think about these guys, everything that happened to them. I don't really know what happens to their family. I think that says somewhere in here. But they were taken from their families and the ones that they love, and everything was changed in their life. And it says that, I think it says in this verse, or in chapter 6, it says that, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. That means he had a good attitude. He had a good spirit about him, and he didn't let this affect his spirit that he had. So now that was kind of the backstory. So now we're going to move over to Daniel 3, and we're going to talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego tonight. So this is going to be fun. Actually, let's pray before we get started. So, dear Lord, just thank you so much for this day. Just thank you so much for other things given to us. Just thank you so much that you have given me this opportunity to preach your word, Lord. Just please help me to say what you want me to say. Just please pray that I would just do your will and that you would just please speak through me, Lord. And just please pray that people will get something from this message. And just please pray that we'd have a good rest of the night. Just pray for all these things in your name. Amen. Bless you. Whew. Okay. So, in Daniel 3, it is talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So I'm going to start reading there. It says in verse number 1, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it upon the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces, to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And then in verse number 4 it says, Then an herald cried aloud, To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up, the king had set up. Man, his name is so hard to, that would be a fun name as a kid, wouldn't it? What's your name? Nebuchadnezzar. Spell that. No. But, all right. So, in verse number 1, we see that Nebuchadnezzar made this huge golden image. It says it was 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. So, this thing was ginormous. I cannot, and it was all gold. So, apparently, he was pretty wealthy. Obviously, he was pretty wealthy. But, so he called all of the people of the land to come to the dedication of this statue that he wanted, and to bow down. So, So right here in verse number six, we see where the pressure to do the things to worship the false god was put on. It says in verse number six, it says, And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So, oh, and then, by the way, my message title is Take a Stand. Just thought I'd throw that there. I forgot to say that first. So we see the pressure that was put on not only Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but also all the other people of the land. So we see that if they wouldn't do it, they were going to die. And I think most of the people right away were like, okay, I don't care what I believe in, I'm bowing down. And then it says, therefore at the time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So not only were they going to die, but everybody else was doing it. It was kind of like, you look around and you see everybody else is bowing down to this big old golden statue right in front of you. So there was peer pressure there, wasn't there? So we see that in verse number 6 and verse number 7. And then in verse number 8, it says, and get some water here. My mouth is already dry. Ooh, that's good. In verse number 8, it says, wherefore at the time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden images. You know, I had to look up all of these instruments because I had no clue what they were. I was so confused. But I looked them up and they're actually pretty cool. And then in verse number 11 it says, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And then in verse number 12 it says, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the provinces of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So, because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not give in to the pressure that was given in these verses up here, they stuck out, didn't they? They were a little bit different, and those men up there saw them. So, what I got from that is, whenever we serve God, people are going to notice that, and people are going to be upset with us. People are going to see that, and they're going to be like, well, something's not right with them, something different about them. In Romans 12:1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we should stand out. It is our duty to stand out so that other people can see that there's something different about us. But in this passage, they saw that and they did not like that. So they wanted to do something about it. And then in Matthew 10:22, it says, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. So they're not only going to see that you're different, but they're going to hate you for being different, like I said earlier, which is just something that they had to go through, and it's a sad thing that we have to go through, but it's just, we have to do it. And it says, I have a note here. How do you deal with peer pressure? That's a good one. But I'm looking at the kids here, and a lot of you kids go to public school, and I didn't have the right to go to public school, but I didn't go to public school because my parents homeschooled me, and I'm thankful for that, because some of you kids have to go through some things that I never had to go through. You have bad friends that want you to do things, maybe, well, I don't know about now because you all are pretty young, but smoking and cussing and some of the other things, the bad words that they say that you feel like you have to say if you want to be in with them, a peer pressure, right? It's not good. It's kind of bad. And then people at work, I work in a factory. And before I went into my work, I thought that men were worse cussers than girls were, but it turns out it's the opposite. Girls are worse. It's extremely bad. So it's weird because they get into some weird conversations there because you're kind of just standing there packing all day for 8 hours and you're doing the same thing over and over again. There'll be a girl on this side, a girl on this side, and they'll be talking over you, and you want no part to do in that conversation. So, yeah, you just do nothing. You just look straight ahead. So they'll ask you a question, and I'll be like, no, I don't really want to be in this conversation. This is awkward. I probably should not be talking about this. But it's just weird that they want to get you involved to see if you will talk about it. They want to see what your opinion is on something that you shouldn't be talking about at work. And I've had a lot of instances, what in the world? Instances, thank you. I still said it wrong. where I said I didn't want to be a part of it, and they still did it. They still asked me questions, and I said, no, I really don't want to be in this conversation. I can't leave, so just maybe stop talking about it, but I can't make them stop talking about it. But I told my mom about it, about how awkward it is and how it just kind of is messing with me. And she gave me really good advice. She said, whenever they're doing that, just don't look at them. Just work on what you're doing and just start praying. And that was some of the best advice that she gave me, just because whenever they're talking about things that they shouldn't be talking about, I just, you know, stare at what I'm doing and I just pray and I just ask God to just not let this affect me. And it's hard. I'll say that it is hard, but I'm trying to take a stand. I'm trying to do what I should do, but it's just, it affects you, and it's not fun sometimes to work there. And it's very easy to get a bad attitude about work. It's very easy just to be like, these people are crazy, I want nothing to do with them, just get me out of here. But you got to work. If you don't work, you don't eat. So, but then in Daniel 12 and on, where am I at here? It says, oh no, I'm sorry, 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Now if ye be ready at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And whoso is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So here Nebuchadnezzar is giving them one more chance. He's giving them one more chance to bow down and to worship and to redeem themselves, to worship this golden image so that way they don't have to burn. So I think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could have made a lot of excuses here. I think they could have been like, well, for one, everyone else is doing it, so we wouldn't have really made an impact here. But, and two, they could have been like, well, the king is ruler over us, so we have to listen to what he says. And three, well, we could have just bowed down and not actually worshiped this golden image. You know, just this one time we could have did this, and God probably would have forgiven us for that. But, you know, they didn't. They did not. They did not do that. Or, I have another one here. It was the custom in the land to worship that golden image. And then another one, if they didn't, they would die. That's a good one. That's a pretty good excuse. You know, if I don't do this, I'm going to die. That's pretty good. But, then I was thinking, how often we make excuses to sin. We make excuses to sin and to bow down to the pressure that people are putting on us. And in our classes, we've been we were reading about some of the other versions of the Bible and how, you know, some people believe that and some people believe this. And it's just weird how people will go to something that fits their way of life and how it just, you know, what fits them, that's what they're going to go with. And if it convicts you at all, they're not going to read it. So I feel like people are kind of caving into the pressure of, well, we need to not use the King James Version so much, and we need to get over to these other versions that are more, I don't know, kind and loving. I don't know. I have never read one before. But so we need to stay true to the King James Versions, and we also need to stay true to our standards. And standards is a big part of being a Baptist, I believe. And one of those is music. And I have a little bit of a problem with music. It's just I like kind of the more upbeat music, you know, the beat that kind of gets your feet tapping, and I know that's wrong, and I had someone confront me about it a little time ago, and it convicted me because I knew they were right, and I knew I was wrong, but I just liked it so much that I was like, oh, it's not that bad. Now, I still listen to godly music on this thing. This thing is very useful for a lot of things, but it's also very bad. I know preacher says that a lot, but you can use that for good and evil. But I would make excuses like, oh, it's not that bad. You know, I can listen to music, you know, and also listen to godly music, and it'll be good. You know, God won't care if I listen to, I like the old 50s music, the doo-wop music the pastor doesn't like. They don't mean anything. They just sound good. I like that kind of music. So I make excuses for that and for dress. That's the big problem, I feel like. in Baptist circles, the dress, the morals, just everything like that. We make excuses for us to do those things, and it's just, it's getting kind of crazy. But, all right, and then in Daniel number 19, I'm sorry, 3, verse 19, it says, then when Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of his, Dad, could you say that word for me? Visage, thank you, was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, the fire exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the fiery furnace. So whenever I'm reading this passage, it always gets me thinking, because it seemed like they knew God was going to protect them, didn't it? And for some reason, I cannot believe what they said in these verses up here, that, you know, God, they didn't know God was going to save them, but they acted like they knew God was going to save them. And they didn't know, but they knew that God could save them. They knew that God could save them from that burning fiery furnace. And they didn't have the full picture that we have today. I feel like we look at this and we're like, oh yeah, you know, God was going to save them. They knew all along, but they did not know that God was going to save them. But even though they didn't know, they were willing to take a stand, even though it meant that they would die, which is just crazy to me. So that got me thinking again. This few verses got me thinking quite a lot. So that made me think, whenever the time comes for us to take a stand, what are we going to do in that time? I know America is one of the greatest countries on earth. It is the greatest country on earth, I believe. But it's turning from God pretty quickly. And we have a really bad problem with abortion and sodomy and just a lot of bad things and alcohol and all that stuff, which I don't know what people are thinking with abortion. What is that? You're murdering people. I just don't get it. But they can't see that, and they're just kind of pushing it on people that if you talk bad about that, that you're hurting people's feelings. Your feelings, it doesn't, you know, that doesn't affect me at all. But it's just crazy how people are blaming other people for, you know, their feelings being hurt whenever the Bible preaches against that stuff. The Bible says that sodomy is not right, and that's a big problem with, I have to watch what I'm saying at my work, because there are a lot of people there that are sodomites. And I just have to watch my mouth because people ask me controversial questions. And if I say what I believe, I would get in big trouble. And I have to either just, you know, well, this is what I believe, you know, and I just have to back off. And then, or I just walk away. So I'm trying to get to where, you know, but that's taking a stand. And it's hard to find the happy medium there. But whenever we first started, I remember Pastor taking me and Garrett, and he said, so, he's like, I don't know what's going to happen in the next decade or two. He's like, it might be illegal to preach the gospel or even to own the gospel. And he's like, you guys might have to go through some things that I haven't had to go through. And that got me thinking, you know, what would I do in a situation where they would come into my house and take away my Bible and take away, you know, the Word of God? What would I do in that situation? Would I be like, okay, I could probably find another one, you know, hide it in here somewhere and read that? Or would I stand up and would I say, no, that's God's word? And would I be willing to die for God's word and the things that I believe in? Would I be willing to take a stand for God and just be willing to die like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did? Now, is God going to save us every time? You know, because we read this and we're like, well, if we take a stand, God's gonna save us, I believe. He might, and he can if he wanted to. But 9 times out of 10, he's not. He's going to let us become a martyr, which is one of the greatest, you know, things in the Bible. So, it still amazes me that they did not know that God was going to save them, but yet they still did this. So, like I said, that got me thinking, what would I do in their situation? Would I stand up, or would I just bow down and be like, no, you can have all of my rights. You can just, because a lot of our rights are being taken away. I know some of the freedom of speech rights are kind of being, you know, if you say this, you know, that's hate speech and all that good stuff. I don't really know. I'm only 19. I don't know a whole lot. But what I do know, it's getting kind of crazy, and they're kind of taking away some of our rights there. And it's just kind of crazy on how we're letting them do that. But then in Daniel 24, it says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? Then answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake, and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth to the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom hath sent his angel and delivered his servants, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, language, which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other god that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the province of Babylon." So, these are some great verses here. And I read it through once, and I was kind of like, oh man, they converted Nebuchadnezzar to become a Christian. And I read it through again, and I read it through again. I was like, he didn't become a Christian, did he? But it says here, where does he say, "Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces." So what I see here is, because they took a stand, because they stood up for what they believe in, others saw that. So whenever you take a stand, people are going to see that, and people are going to hate you for that. But some people, whenever you take a stand and you go through all the rough patches and all the things that are going to bring you down, and you come through that, but you come out of that looking better than what you did going in, people are going to see that, and they're going to want that. They're going to want what you have. And Nebuchadnezzar saw that their God protected them, and he knew that no other God could do that. You know, he said that down here. He said, there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. He knew there was something special about his God, which made me think. I was like, if I saw that, and after that I didn't worship that God, you know, what in the world is he thinking? But he didn't get rid of his other gods. He still had his other gods and the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But then after that they were promoted. So they went through all of that, and we read that, and we're like, man, they had to go through a lot just to serve God. You know, and it's just crazy to think that after that everything was, you know, normal. But it got me thinking, we have no control over our future. However, whether we live or die, if we stand for God, he will always be with us. So whenever we serve God, whether he's going to save us from our fiery furnace or he's not, he's still going to be there with us. Even through our hard times, he's still going to be there, and he's going to be with us. And he's going to give us comfort, and he's going to give us peace through the trials that we're going through if we're serving him. So that's kind of what I got tonight. I know I ran really short. I don't even know how far I went. It's 6:53. But I'm done. So I'm sorry. It was supposed to be longer. In rehearsal, it was longer. So